God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet the Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Welcome to the Saucer Pod. Bit of a labor sometimes, flying in friendly skies, but it's what we do. Most of the skies are unfriendly at this time, so you're bound to be sailing on ill winds occasionally. It's a useful trait to possess, being able to sail on both good winds and bad winds. Another useful trait is not to care what various people might have to say about you. Focusing too much on the good makes you super conscious of the bad. I only value one opinion of myself, and that is the one held by the ineffable. I'll be told by word or event whether I'm headed in the wrong direction. It's easy to get lost. You pay too much attention to where you're going, and you stand a better chance of getting lost. I don't know if that makes much sense on the surface, but the kind of rules that are present in the terrestrial are sometimes and even often different than the ones that prevail in the metaphysical. If you go out of your way to please people, you'll eventually wind up, displeasing yourself. If you spend too much time pleasing yourself, you'll certainly displease others at some point. Individual fate hangs on one of the two, and the choices made over the course of one's past determine which of these you become. There are other options, but they involve a minority of the players, and players are what we all are. You could substitute the word actors if you prefer to see life as a stage. Players will suffice if you think of the world as a casino. Of course, there's an argument for clowns. There's always an argument for clowns. It can be difficult to play or act on your way out of the slots on which your car of karma travels. It all has a lot to do with attitude and persistence. For some, for very few, the slots are not that high, and the depressions in the train wheels of the car that carry you are not that deep. So with a certain amount of effort, you can jump the tracks. The car won't keep running if it's not on the magnetized tracks. So it will quickly slow down when it jumps the tracks, and you can get out of the car. In these times, most of the train-like wheels have deep grooves in them, and the tracks are fairly high. Jumping the tracks is no easy feat under these circumstances, but it is still all a matter of persistence. There is no attitude in persistence. That is why the tracks are high and the grooves are deep. As is always the case, it is what is within you that counts, not what is outside of you. It is a typical response, and the reason I hammer on these and similar things so much, it is a typical response for those who are seduced by the appearance of power to believe that that is where the power lies. In essence, these people worship the devil. I don't care if there's some church or the more readily associated area of demonic enterprise known as the marketplace. Everyone bowing down to external power, whether they be one kind of an idolater or another, is worshiping the devil. Most of the priests and preachers are serving and worshiping the devil. You don't have to be simply in it for the money. There's a matter of prestige, position, and a host of dark delicacies from the larder of desire. Kundalini reversal is a common phenomenon in these times, and it can take all kinds of shapes when it gets a look into the larder. Weakness is a concern all up and down the road. Up the road, it is a concern because it retards attitude and persistence. It also messes with your vision. How else to explain so many people selling out their birthright for a mess of pottage? This is what happens when you can't see straight. This happens when you look to the world for meaning and translation instead of looking within where real meaning is and where the translations are accurate. Most of the world is wading through a blizzard of cell phones, iPads, MP3 players, and whatever stationary machinery they have at their homes. If they have a home, because those who do not possess these things want them easily as much as those who do. People now identify and define themselves according to what they have and according to their position in the circus, on the stage, or in the casino. It's incredibly hard for most of us to live outside of the system and follow a route of our own choosing, or a route chosen for us by someone we trust and upon which we agree. I have been able to do this because so much trauma and adversity came down upon me that I had no choice. On my way through it, I couldn't compute the reason for my being put through all these things. It was horrific, and that is an understatement. It went on and on for years, and all I could think was, boy, do I have bad karma. Finally, the tide turned for a bit, and I found myself in Europe. That changed everything. For once, I was being left alone, and the headless horseman wasn't coming to my door on a regular basis. It even seemed like I was specially protected here, and so it has remained. I don't question it. It's just how it's been. Some little while ago, I was told I'd be moving out of here. I got no further details, but then events came about where it was shown to me that I would be moving on. I had a few locations in mind. I started hearing from people in these locations, and I started researching these locations, and they seemed good possibilities. Then I was sitting here in my room a little over 2 weeks ago, and I was told that I would be going to some place that I hadn't even considered. The very next day, I got an email from that location where I had never heard from before, with a lot of positive possibilities. Time has passed, and everything is kind of back in limbo. I must say that I have never seen a time fraught with more confusion than the one I'm presently in. This is one of the reasons I always keep all of my options open, and, well, I've got 5 months of all sorts of opportunities, and no doubt more confusions as well. What I take away from all of this is not to rely on anything or anyone, nor expect anything, but simply take things as they come. That's what we are all up against, aren't we? We make plans. We aspire and harbor ambitions, but we are at the mercy of the moment, always. We meet the moment according to our level of integrity and the strength of our connection to the ineffable. Nothing else really comes into play except, of course, our attitude and level of persistence. And the imponderables. There are always the imponderables. Those are the things we can't explain and don't understand. We know they're there. Sometimes I hear tales of other people's lives and their struggles, and I think, man, it has been a hard grind down here for me in these times, and for a great many of us. My mind then stretches out over the planet, and I see the Congo, Mali, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, and the blood-sucking bankers who have caused all this madness and continue to. And I look at the lives in these places, and I have to admit to myself that as hard as it has been for me, it has not been as hard as it is for others in so many places. I have to count my blessings. I didn't have a good day today. It hasn't been a good several days, actually, and then when I was transferring Suzanne's mother to her chair today, I dropped her. She sort of spun to the side, and she's not light. And she looked at me with an O of surprise on her mouth. And then she just went down. I'm not that bad at shifting weight. It's something I've studied. But my position, her position, the quickness with which it occurred, juxtaposed with my not getting a lot of rest lately, were all too much in combination for me to handle, and down she went. The good news is that a moment later she was laughing. I tried to get her set so that I could leverage her up into her chair, but it was to no avail. She's 70-some kilos, and that's dead weight, given that she could be no help in the process. I failed in my efforts. Suzanne returned after a couple of hours, and we managed to get her into position so that we could seat her. That wasn't easy either. I had a few moments, given how things have been going lately, and just after I dropped the mother, where I wondered again, as I often have, why is the divine messing with me so much? I'm trying my best, but as Quincy Jones states in one of his songs, but I guess my best wasn't good enough, because Lord knows we're not getting anywhere. I say, this has all been a test of endurance, and I keep getting jacked up by promises that slip away like wraiths in the morning light. Perhaps this is all meant to keep one going. I don't know. Then I think about so many who languish in prison and where I spent a few years, and maximum security hospitals where I also spent some time. I just found out that Homeland Security is building their mega complex at the St. Elizabeth's Hospital, a $4 billion project, which is the place where I was locked up. Ezra Pound, too, and some other people. The guy who shot Reagan, I think. Anyway, I think of these poor and nameless unfortunates caught up in the secret rendition programs that were put together by the bankers who owned both Bush, Obama, and many others. These are the ones who actually did 9/11 and then put together the rendition programs operating like characters in a Kafka novel or something by Orwell. It's the dreadful irony of people being interrogated and tortured for information concerning the very crimes that they themselves committed. The people torturing them committed the crimes. It's a horror show, as they said in Clockwork Orange, and we are seeing elements of Clockwork Orange beginning to surface. It's not just the expected rage of alcohol and amphetamine. It's also the rage of antidepressants, which by now you would think there would be emergency research going on about, unless that's a feature they are after in the first place. It's not antidepressant rage only, though. It's not just alcoholic rage. It's poverty rage and disappointment rage and wanton extremist rage. It's mortgage foreclosure rage. It's returning from battle rage. It's bank theft rage. It's 100 kinds of rage all simmering like some ghastly gumbo, or would that be jambalaya? It's something spicy and toxic. It's being cooked in a lot of kitchens, Monsanto's, Dow, DuPont's, and all those pharmaceutical labs. And let's not forget BP. They use the entire Gulf of Mexico as a crock pot. Yes, there is more than enough out there to make you fearful, apprehensive, and insecure. None of us are immune to some level of awareness concerning the forces active in these times. They are doing their very worst to bring us into a state of collective submission. Why are they so relentless? You would have to assume that they have read a little history. You would have to assume that they know how it has worked out in the past under similar conditions. They can't be thinking short-term, because short-term has not been the manner of their approach all along. They have to have some awareness of the times they're in, besides the fact of them having done so much to create them. The only answer can be that they are compelled to act as they do. They're also blinded by the forces using them for the purpose of demonstration. And this is one of the keys to our survival. Even if we do not survive, it is one of the keys to our passage onward in terms of where we wind up. We can't allow ourselves to be cowed and intimidated by mere shadows. That is why we have to see them as shadows. We have to train our minds to see the bounty in our hands and hearts and not the looming unknown that dogs our footsteps. I can only speak for my own situation, and that has been one of grave difficulty for some time. Things come at me out of the blue, which make no kind of sense, and over recent times it has had nothing to do with my own behavior. I've been exemplary in my conduct, and certainly my work ethic has been as gruesome as the rest of it. On and on it goes, and where it stops, nobody knows. I don't actually know any of you who are out there listening to the show tonight. I hear from some of you now and again, not that many, given the feedback of the blogs, but for some reason, that's how it goes here, and that is not my concern at this hour. I know that quite a few people are listening to this broadcast because I'm aware of the amount of streams and downloads over the course of time. My concern is that those listening and those reading are getting something useful in their lives and not being swept away in the riptides of this awful age. It's not easy to hold it together under current circumstances. Sometimes our faith and ability to endure is all we have. I thought the 60s had ushered in a golden age. How very wrong I was. I know the age of Aquarius is around here somewhere, but it's definitely been dragging its feet. One is certainly permitted to wonder at this stage, where the hell is the age of Aquarius? Is the age of Aquarius drunk in an alley somewhere, or tossing dollar bills at junkie dancers in a strip club? Did the age of Aquarius lose its ass in Las Vegas and is now working as a transvestite cocktail waitress at the MGM Grand? Is the MGM Grand still there? I don't know. I've never been to Las Vegas and have no plans to do so. Certain areas on this planet I know to be unhealthy for me, and over recent years I've been learning about some of them. This is not meant as a judgment against those places, just that they are not good for me. I have a few power zones where I'm more or less looked after, and there are other places where I'm not welcome at all. It's got something to do with contrast, and this bedeviling Kundalini knows all about it, but has no plans on letting me in on any of it, because the mystery is apparently the point. Are you caught up in the mysteries of your own existence? Do things just not make sense? Well, my take on this is that there is always a reason, and when we can't see the reason, then it has something to do with us. This is why I stress self-inquiry. If we start to go deep into ourselves, we are going to stir up a lot of things, and that is why people stop looking at a certain point. They stop looking inside and start looking outside, and that is how they get hooked up with external teachers and systems that promise them various kinds of results over long periods of time. The religions hook you in for an entire lifetime. They've got their progressive scenarios in place from the cradle to the grave. But you have to keep in mind that if you should experience any form of enlightenment, then you're not likely to continue giving the church money. I should also direct your attention to the lives of the saints and what happened to the majority of them. I'll also direct your attention to Scientology and Satanism, basically the same thing. They got a cradle to grave program too. And as ever, lots of money is given over. Somehow people think their investment in the church will guarantee a sure and certain admission into heaven. I had this friend whose last name was Welch. His father had an enormous laundry and dry cleaning business that spanned the state of California and, for all I know, other states as well. His father belonged to some Christian sect in that area, which guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed, that you would go to heaven if you gave them all of your money. The man might have been good at business, but getting old turned him into a fool, and he did give them all of his money, many tens of millions of dollars. My friend was not amused, but he got 5 acres in Hawaii and a good income for life, but you know how people are. Once you realize that religion is a business, you then know that you've got to look somewhere else. Probably you look for more arcane systems, but most of them are in business too. In my travels, I've found only a few organizations that are not after your money. Still, there's a lifetime of work ahead of you. It really pays to read about the lives of those upon whom these teachings are based. It behooves any and all earnest seekers to study what these people went through on their way to whatever happened to them. You've got to know what you're in for. Oh, well, my friends, comes up quickly around here how time does pass. I look at the time moving on the clock, and I see we've come to the end of another broadcast. And I will see you next week. You'll hear me next week, if there is one. In the meantime, I hope clarity and determination come to you all, and that includes me as well. That said, let's move to the conclusion and say, Om Amitabha, Hare Krishna, greetings Lord Ganesha, La ilaha il alahula, Karyan Lord Baula, Hail Lord Jesus Christ, Aloha, and Haru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.